Hey, this is Hilton Gisano. Welcome to another video in the OneNote Developer video series. In this video, we're going to find out how to create a new OneNote page by using the OneNote API from within an ASP.NET MVC application. Now, the OneNote API makes use of OAuth for its authentication, and this means that we need to get a client ID and a client secret, as well as one or two other things that we need to set up in the Microsoft Account Developer Center. There is another video in this series which talks through how to get a client ID specifically for a web application. So check that video out and find out all the details and all the steps involved. If you followed along with that video, you'll recognize some of the settings in these screens that I'm going to show now. But essentially, we need to do two things. We need to get from the API settings the actual redirect URL that we are going to be using inside of our application. So whatever we configure here in the portal needs to match our actual application itself so that the callback can be validated and ultimately that our app can be called back to from the Microsoft OAuth capability. And then in addition, you'll see a link on this page down at the bottom there to App Settings, or on the left menu as well, there's a link to App Settings. And when I go ahead and open that up, inside of here appear our client ID and the client secret that we are going to use in our application. With that done, we can head over to Visual Studio and start building our app. So in Visual Studio here, I'm going to go to the File menu, create a new project, and we're going to create a standard ASP.NET web application using Visual Studio 2013 here. So let's give it a name. I'll call it a OneNote web app. I'm going to use the MVC template, not build it as an Azure application, just to work locally to keep things simple for now. As always, the caveat with any kinds of demos, I'm not going to use very good practices necessarily for the app. I'm going to use things that are really going to save us as much time so that we can focus on what we're trying to do in this video, dealing with the OneNote API. Now, one thing that is important because of the OAuth as well is because of the callback URL that we needed to specify, and the fact that that URL needs to work both on dev and ultimately obviously into production as well, we want to go ahead and set up a URL on our local development machine that is a fully qualified live domain name, exactly as it will appear when our app goes into production. So before we even start working with code, I'm going to go to the properties of our project, head over to the web section here, and actually configure our application to run even on the local machine under that fully qualified domain name. So I'm going to set here that we will use IIS Express. I'm going to overwrite the application root URL to the one that we could copy out of the portal there when you create your client ID. I'm going to go here and create the virtual directory as well. And this will create an entry for IIS Express to go ahead and run our application. It's important to know that you can only do this if you are running Visual Studio as an administrator. So you can see that in the title bar of the IDE here that the Visual Studio is running as an admin. And once that's done, we also need to go ahead and modify the actual IIS Express settings to configure it to run on port 80 and so on. So I'm going to set the URL for the start URL for our site as well for when the project runs under the start action setting here. And then I'm going to load the IIS Express config file as well. So that's in my docs, IIS Express config, and then application host.config. Inside of the file here, the application host config, which has just appeared on my other monitor, I'm just going to drag it over here. I'm going to search for the OneNote app that we just created, and you can see the site appearing inside here. And I need to go ahead and change the binding information. The protocol will stay the same, it's still running on HTTP, but I'm going to set that it must run on port 80, and also that it must run, instead of under the local host address, under the fully qualified domain name there, www.onenotedemowebsite.com, which again matches what we had in the application developer portal. And finally, I need to go into my hosts file, and I'm going to create an entry that will resolve this fully qualified domain name, onenotedemowebsite.com, to actually run on the local machine, so that when we hit it in the browser, it will resolve to the local machine rather than trying to go out over the live internet. So we can save those changes across the files, and I'm actually just going to run our application, even blank, just using the template here, just to make sure that all of that is resolving correctly. And you can see that the page is loading as expected in the browser. So it's using the default scaffolding that's been created here for our MVC application, the default web page and routes and so on. Okay, at this point we can get to some actual code. So I'm going to start with the layout in the shared view here and go ahead and just add a new menu item up at the top of the page to handle the actual creation of our new OneNote page. So I call the action link here create OneNote page. I'm going to define it as a create new page action, and I'm going to do that on a new OneNote controller that I'm going to create in a moment. So let's head over to controllers. We'll go ahead and add a new controller. We'll use a default empty controller because we're not going to be using CRUD methods. So I'll just create a OneNote controller there, and we can go ahead and set that actual action as well. Before we do, I'm going to paste in a few things here just to save us some time and also to make sure that we don't have any errors in our typing here. So the first is the actual endpoint for the OneNote API. The second is our client ID and client secret that we would have gotten out of the application developer portal as well. And then the redirect that we would have configured as well in that portal. And finally, the last item there is a string array of scopes. And these are effectively the permissions that you will be calling against the OneNote service on the user's behalf. So the ability, for example, to sign in is the first one that appears there. The request for offline access, which enables you to get a token that will last for much longer so that you can retain the user's token and create pages on the behalf for a much longer period. And finally, the actual ability to create pages in the OneNote service against that Microsoft account. After that, we're going to install the Live SDK. And it will enable us, for example, to do authentication and handle all the redirects and so on behind the scenes for us. So I'm going to head you into the Package Manager console, and I'm going to install the package, which is the Live SDK. Now, if you've worked with the Live SDK before, or even if you've, for example, followed along with other videos in this series where we've built native applications, for example, a Windows Phone app, we've installed the Live SDK before, but in a web app, we need to install the Live SDK server package. So note that difference, otherwise you will get a different version of the SDK. It looks similar, but of course the server version has web-specific things that we need. So we will wait for the package to finish installing. Once that package has come down, we're also going to do some JSON parsing on the result that comes back. So I'm going to install the Newtonsoft JSON parser. Let's go ahead and resolve that one. And then the last NuGet package we're going to implement is the HTTP client from Microsoft. So that's in microsoft.net.http. And that completes all of the libraries that we need to get started. So we can switch back to the code. And out of that Live SDK, I'm going to make use of the Live Auth client to handle the actual authentication for us. So I'll declare it here. Let's resolve the namespace and go ahead and declare the actual field that I want to use in my controller. Now the constructor here requires the client ID, the client secret, and the client redirect that we've specified as constants a few moments ago. And with that done, I can head into my action and go ahead and implement the create new page action. Now, the Live Auth client will do some initialization for us and enable us also to implement the redirect to the sign-in services. So inside of our action, the first thing that we're going to do here is to go ahead and call an initialization method off of that Live Auth client. The result will come back into a Live Login Result object where we could check that everything is working successfully. But essentially, it's just doing some background initialization, so nothing too complicated there, and we don't need to worry about the result. We are going to call it asynchronously, though, so I'm going to switch my task to being async as well, and then we'll call the initialize web session async method on the Live Auth client. We'll pass in the current HTTP context to that as well. Once it's initialized, it will enable us to do the redirect. So we're going to do a response.redirect inside of our controller, and we'll redirect to the get login URL result for the actual login services. We'll pass in our scopes so that it's able to pass those through as well, and as part of the actual login, request the correct permissions that we need. And then, as I said, we are not actually rendering a view in this case because we're doing a redirect, so I'll just return null as the action result for this action. Now, the next stage is to handle the redirect that comes back from the authentication services. And that's going to be on the URL that we defined. So it will be off of the root for our website and then a redirect path that comes back in. So I'm going to go here into the root config for our MVC application, and I'm going to map that root explicitly to a new action on this current controller. So we'll give it a name here. We'll call it the live callback because that's what it's essentially doing. And under the URL there, we will specify that it is directly off the root a redirect path that's coming back. We'll send it to the OneNode controller, and we'll go ahead and create a new action for this. We'll take off the parameter because we can control that explicitly in our action. So back to the controller, let's go ahead and implement that redirect action. So I'll copy the create new page just to get some of the scaffolding there, the async task and so on. The redirect though should hopefully come back with an authorization token that we can convert into an access request token against the live auth services. So we'll check that that code has come back correctly. If it doesn't, then let's just cater for an error condition there as well. And again, we could make this a bit more robust, perhaps redirect to an error page, for instance. I'm just going to send the user straight back to the index action on the home controller. And again, return null on this particular action that we're implementing, though, because it will ultimately redirect if everything is successful. This time we're going to hook into the LiveAuth client again, but this time we will implement the exchange auth code method, which again is asynchronous. And this will, as I mentioned, convert the authorization code into an actual access request token. So again, we'll pass in the current HTTP context. Now this is an MVC application. We obviously need a model as well. So if everything does go successfully, then we will want to return some details out to the user using a model. So I'll implement a OneNote create view model here. And on that view model, I'm going to go ahead and handle a response message. So either a success or failure response message. And then if everything works correctly, then we should get a URL to the newly created page that we can actually browse to straight in the browser. So I'll capture that separately here as well. Let's go back to our controller and just resolve the namespace there and go ahead and try and retrieve the new model. And that new model is going to come back from a create action that we're going to implement here. So we'll pass in the session that comes back from the live authentication client, and we'll pass that into a new method that we'll create in a moment. And if that method is successful, if the create is successful, then we'll call a new view called new OneNote page and pass in the model. Now let's go ahead and implement our actual creation code. To create a new page in OneNote, effectively the content of that page is actually a kind of HTML. It's a subset of standard HTML. So you'll recognize things here like a head tag, a body tag, obviously the HTML tag itself, but even formatting things like italicized and bolded text, a hyperlink, and even an image that we can embed directly in there as well. The title of the page is also specified using the convention here of the standard HTML title, and the date format that appears on a OneNote page, the timestamp, is specified here using a meta property called created. We can go ahead and just pass the current date time in for that, but notice that the date needs to be in a very specific ISO 8601 format, which caters for localized date formats, particularly for local time zone offsets. And that's all the content that we need to pass in to actually create the new page as its payload. But to do that, being that the OneNote API is a REST service, we need to go ahead and issue the actual HTTP call to the service. So we'll create a full HTTP request message here, define that it's a POST message, and of course specify the endpoint as the OneNote API endpoint that we captured up front in a constant. Into that message, we'll go ahead and pass the actual sample HTML payload as the string content. It's important to note here also that the text needs to be encoded using UTF-8 format. If it comes through in another format, you'll get error characters appearing in your output. And then finally, of course, we'll specify that it's HTML text. So we've created the final message. Let's go ahead and define the HTTP client across which to send that message. On the client, we need to set a few headers. First is an authorization header, the actual security details that we want to pass through. And being an OAuth service, we will pass a bearer token, and we'll go ahead and pass in the session token that we need. So off of the Live Connect session, we have access to an access token property, and that's what we're going to pass in. And finally, off of the headers as well, we'll go ahead and specify an accept header to specifically say that we want application JSON data to come back. With that done, we can actually fire off the HTTP request message. So we'll have its response come back here into an HTTP response message object. We'll just call it response. And we'll go ahead and call the HTTP client's send async method asynchronously. So we'll await on that response. Go ahead and pass in the actual message as the payload. Of course, we need to make our create method async here as well, just to resolve that error. And once all that's done and the call is hopefully successful, we can go ahead and process the response that's come back. And we'll inspect it to ensure that the actual creation was successful, and then handle the details of showing the user what comes back to. So we are going to return that view model, and that's what we're going to throw across to the view for our controller. So we'll define the new model itself. And then what we'll do is check whether the response was actually successful. Now, the OneNote service is a REST service, so of course we want to use standard HTTP conventions. And one of those is that if a page is created successfully, then we will get an HTTP response code of 201, which is a creation successful. So as I hover over the enumeration value there, you'll see 201 as the response type. And if that came back, then obviously our page was created successfully. So we're going to show the user a little bit of raw output in this video, not something you would do obviously in a live app, but for demo purposes here, it's useful to see the response as it comes back in its raw form. So I'm going to write out the response code, the response status out to the user first, and then we'll write out the raw payload a little bit later too. First, let's capture that payload as it comes back from the HTTP client. So we're going to read the raw payload as a string directly into a payload string variable here. And then we'll decode that payload in its JSON format using the JSON library that we brought into our project. We'll treat it as a dynamic object, which means, of course, we need to know what the payload looks like so that we can access everything off there. In this particular case, though, we are going to access the new link to the newly created page. So the response object contains a links collection. Off of that links collection, there are going to be two URLs. You'll see hopefully later in this video if everything's successful. One of those is a web URL, and we'll capture the hyper, and we'll capture the href property off of that. Let's write that raw response out to the user though as well, so that in our development mode here, we can actually see the full response as it comes back. So I'll just put a break to put it on a new line, and then I'll write out the response directly from this payload string. Of course, let's just move that line down so that it's in the right place. This method also needs to be async, so let's implement that, and we'll also implement here an error condition in case the creation was not successful. We obviously won't capture the new link, but we will go ahead and also write a response out to the user. In this case, we will say that the page creation was unsuccessful, it failed. And we can also write a response code out here too, so that the user can see the response status that came back. Okay, we're just about done. Let's return the newly created model up from the process response method into the create method, which in turn will ultimately go up to our redirect action, which will pass that model out to the view. So as a final stage here, let's just go ahead and implement that view. We'll define it as a details template here, and we'll point to the OneNote create view model, of course, to show that data. Now, one of the properties is a string, the other was a URI, so the template generator here is not quite sure what to do with it, but we're just going to deal with it as a string. So we will implement handling for the new page link property as well. And to keep things simple, I'm just going to write it straight out into an anchor tag here. So we'll call it new page, and obviously the link will be the link hopefully to the newly created page. Okay, let's run our application. I've got Fiddler running in the back as well, as you can see. So let's go ahead and click the Create OneNote page menu item that we defined in our page here. And this should, behind the scenes, fire off a request to the Microsoft account login services here. And you can see that is working successfully. So the redirect is occurring correctly. Notice that it's going to the OAuth2 authorization portal here. And I can go ahead as an end user and sign in to my account. I'm going to pause the video for a moment just to do that. When I do go ahead and sign in though, it will redirect back to our application and immediately try and create the new page. So let's do that. We head back and you can see the new page has been created successfully. Let's head back to Fiddler. We'll look at the output in a moment, but let's start off by looking at Fiddler and you can see the actual sequence of calls occurring there. So we go to the create new page off of our OneNote controller in the URL there. We can go ahead and look into the details of that. I'll leave that as an exercise for you as the viewer to do in your own time. And you'll see it's effectively just doing a 302 redirect onto the Microsoft Account Service login page. And then likewise, you'll see the redirect coming back there as well, with the code being returned as the query string parameter there. So we captured that code. We went ahead and did the actual call against the OneNote API a little bit further down the actual Fiddler activity stream there. That was successful. So let's head back to our application, see the response written out. So you can see the new page created successfully there, the actual response message coming back, and notice that the links collection has come back correctly there too. So we have a collection of two links. The first is a OneNote client URL, and this is a URL that is prepended with a OneNote protocol. So on the desktop here, for example, if I was to try and fire up that URL, it would load my new page directly in the full OneNote desktop client. But notice also that we have a OneNote web URL, and this is the one that we made use of to define our new page link down at the bottom there. So I can either click that link or I'll also just go ahead and copy the URL. Also will, of course, work successfully. So I'm gonna paste it into the browser here and wait for for the OneNote web client to load and direct us straight to the newly created page. So you can see our new page was created successfully. Things like the title, the formatting, all the content, even the image at this point will get downloaded from the URL that was specified there and embedded into the page at this point too. A last important point, notice that the page will get created at the end of the user's quick notes section. In a later video, we'll look how to create a page in a specific section, but if that's not specified, then new notes will go by default into the user's new notes section. So in this video, we've seen how to authenticate using OAuth2 against the OneNote API and how to go ahead and create a new page from within an ASP.NET MVC application. This has been Hilton Giesener. Thanks for watching.